Today, my dear faithful, is Sexagesima Sunday, and the epistle is taken from the second epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 11. Brethren, you gladly suffer the foolish, whereas yourselves are wise. For you suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take from you, if a man be lifted up, if a man strike you on the face. I speak according to dishonor, as if we had been weak in this part. Wherein, if any man dare, I speak foolishly, I dare also. They are Hebrews, so am I. They are Israelites, so am I. They are the seeds of Abraham, so am I. They are the ministers of Christ. I speak as one less wise. I am more. In many more labors, in prisons more frequently, in stripes above measure, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times did I receive 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I was in the depths of the sea, and journeying often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils from my own nation, in perils from the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils from false brethren, in labor and painfulness, in much watching, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things which are without, my daily instance, the solicitude for all the churches, who is weak, and I am not weak, who is scandalized, and I am not on fire. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things that concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not. At Damascus, the governor of the nation under Aretas the king guarded the city of the Damases to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket I was let down by the wall, and so escaped his hand. If I must glory, it is not expedient indeed, but I will come to the visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ above 40 years ago, whether in the body I know not, or out of the body I know not, God knoweth, such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I know not, God knoweth, that he was caught up into paradise, and heard secret words, which it is not granted to man to utter. For such a one I will glory, but for myself I will glory nothing but in my infirmities. For though I should have a mind to glory, I shall not be foolish, for I will say the truth. But I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth in me, or anything that heareth up from me. Unless the greatness of the revelation should exalt me, there was given me a sting of my flesh, an angel of Satan, to buffet me. For which thing thrice I besought the Lord, that it might depart from me. And he said to me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for power is made perfect in infirmity. Gladly therefore will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 8. At that time, when a very great multitude was gathered together and hastened out of the cities unto him, he spoke by a similitude. The sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside and was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And others, some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And other some fell among thorns, and the thorns growing up with it choked it. And other some fell upon good ground, and being sprung up, yielded fruit 100-fold. Saying these things, he cried out, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him what this parable might be. To whom he said, To you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God, and they by the wayside are they that hear, then the devil cometh and taketh the word out of their heart, lest believing they should be saved. Now they upon the rock are they who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no roots, for they believe for a while, and in time of temptation they fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they who have heard, and going their way, are choked with the cares, riches, and pleasures of this life, and yield no fruit. But that on the good ground are they who, in a good and perfect heart, hearing the word of God, keep it, and bring forth fruit in patience. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. That on the good ground are they who, in a good and perfect heart, hearing the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit in patience. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, there is an interesting story, very short one, about a certain priest that happened some years ago in our beloved state of New York. This priest was going through the city one day when he met a top New York detective just outside of Grand Central Station. The priest and detective knew each other, so the priest went up to talk to him, and he asked the detective how everything was going. Looking a little concerned, the detective replied, "Well, actually, we are expecting a group of out-of-town gangsters to come in on one of the trains today, and I am here waiting for them." The priest was surprised, to say the least, and sorry to disturb the detective. But the detective continued and said to the priest, "Why don't you move to my right, and I'll show you my gun in my pocket." The priest, a little puzzled at this, moved to the side of the detective and looked into his pocket, which the detective opened for him. Smiling, the officer pulled out a rosary and said, "I am on the third joyful mystery now. I want to have Mary on my side in case anything goes wrong." Now, my dear faithful, in today's gospel, our Lord tells us the parable of the seed. He describes what happens when the seed is sown by the farmer. As the seed is sown, it falls in different places, and the seed then grows according to the place where it has fallen. Once the apostles heard the parable, though, they asked our Lord to explain it. They couldn't understand. And so our Lord went on to describe the parable of the sower of the seed and its true meaning behind it. In short, this is what he said: "The seed that is sown is the word of God. And if the seed yields little or no fruit, it is through no fault of God's. Rather, it is due to our lack of cooperation with that good seed. It is due to the properly prepared soil of our heart." One of the first things to make the soil good and ready to grow forth fruit, we must begin first by using prayer, which is our greatest weapon in the spiritual combat, as the detective in the story knew well. In our Lord's explanation of today's gospel, our divine Savior points out three main hindrances that stop the seed from growing and producing fruit. The first seed doesn't grow because of distractions and affections for creatures which enter into the heart. Little by little, the devil succeeds in taking out the good seeds from the soul's heart, as the birds of the air come and take up the seed. And so we need to pray to overcome these tricks and temptations of the devil. We must pray so the good seed, namely the lessons, good inspirations, and holy resolutions, will be nurtured and grow, so that the devil will not be able to take it from our hearts because they are so firmly rooted therein. The second type of soil, the stony ground, has only a thin layer of dirt. Indeed, this seed sprouts up quickly, but soon withers away. These souls lack perseverance. Thus, they waver in the slightest temptation. These souls need the firm resolve to be faithful, and that can only be garnered through their prayers. For it is only by prayer that we can persevere in good works and fight against temptation, because we are so weak. We need the grace of God in order to persevere. Just as plants that need water to grow, and if there's no soil to hold the water, the plants will dry up and die. So prayer is like the water of the soul that helps the seed take deep root in our souls. And thus, they will be strong enough to fight temptations with prayer, asking for God's grace. The next group, the third, in which the thorns choke the seed, are those hearts that are full of the excessive care for temporal things, natural affections, vain desires, and fears. These hearts have other things in mind, rather than the word of God and practicing virtue. They are preoccupied with things of this world, and so prayer will help these souls to keep focused and recollected on eternal things, on God Almighty, on heaven, our true home there. And thus, we will be less worldly and less fearful and worried about temporal things if we continuously turn to prayer. We will put our trust in the Sacred Heart thereby, and will go to Him when we are in trouble, just like we would go to a friend to talk to them when we are in temptation, when some trial is upon us. And these three different ways, and all these different temptations, prayer is necessary in the spiritual life. It is, again, like the water that will make the Word of God grow, live, and develop in the soul. And so, my dear faithful, let us then cultivate our hearts with prayer, so that we may have good and wholesome ground to bring forth much fruit of virtue, of merit, of grace. Strive every day to foster a love for prayer and faithfully say them every day. Be generous with your time, especially setting certain times aside in order to say all your daily prayers, most especially with your family. Of course, we do lead busy lives, as we all know, and so it may be difficult at times, but I assure you that you will not regret it, especially in eternity. For again, it is only by prayer that you receive the necessary graces for your salvation. Our salvation, our entering into heaven, hinges upon our turning to God. Otherwise, we will be the barren soil, the soil that is too thin or that are choked by thorns. By our prayers, we will grow in strength that we need to carry out our daily duties and to persevere in the trials of everyday life. And of course, especially remember to pray in the time of temptation, when some trouble or cross comes your way. Use this most powerful weapon of prayer, just like the New York detective in the story. He was in a most dangerous situation, and so where did he turn? He turned to Our Lady. He prayed her rosary. How often it may be that we forget to do this, to turn to prayer, that we neglect Our Lady's rosary. But especially when a cross or trial comes our way, where should we turn? Ask yourself, do you immediately turn to prayer? Do you immediately ask our Heavenly Mother for help? All too often, we look to somewhere else. We think of ourselves, what we can do. And yet we find ourselves so weak and liable to fall. And so instead, my dear faithful, whenever you are in need of some help, turn to Mary first. And then she will be at your side, just as you can be sure that she was there for the detective, watching over him. We must resolve now to be more faithful to her, turning to her throughout every day, and especially through her rosary. I especially encourage you to do so as we draw closer to Lent. Resolve to be more generous and faithful to your prayers. In that way, you will prepare that good soil in your soul. By asking Our Lady, help me, my Blessed Mother, to prepare my heart for the divine seed, the Word of God. Help me to banish all distractions, self-love, and replace it with holy recollection, and so that I may yield the fruits of salvation and perfection, even 100-fold, as our Lord's Gospel tells us. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.